And now the game where we like to ask experts from various fields about topics they know nothing about. It's called Not My Job. Everybody knows that NASCAR racing is the fastest growing spectator sport in America, second in popularity behind football. But whose fault is that? If there is a single individual who is most responsible for the success of NASCAR, it might be Howard Augustine Wheeler, known to his friends, which is basically everybody in the racing world, as Humpy. Humpy Wheeler. Humpy Wheeler is a showman, an inventor, an entrepreneur, and a newly inducted member of the International Motorsports Hall of Fame. We are delighted to have him here with us. Humpy Wheeler, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, I listen to you all the time, so it's great to be on the show and see everybody.
It's great to have you with us. Now, first question I got to ask, Humpy, how did you...
I knew you were going to do that. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm the first person to ever ask you that, this being the South. They're probably...
Actually, it's your home state, Illinois, which we pronounce down here, Illinois. My father went to the University of Illinois. He was on the football team up there, and they caught him smoking Camel cigarettes. And so they punished him his sophomore year. He had to run around the field of practice every day, and his teammates started calling him Humpy. And I was Howard Jr., and they called me Little Humpy, and when you're in sports, you can't get rid of a nickname. So when Howard A. Wheeler III was born, my son, we nicknamed him that day, my wife Pat did, Trip. No more Humpy.
Really? And you've, now, getting onto your career, you've been involved with NASCAR and racing for 40 years or so?
Well, let's see, my wife and I have been married 43 years. She was 11 when we got married.
Now, I won't have you perpetuating those stereotypes about the South, sir.
Well, you know, we marry young here.
Yeah, I understand.
I've been in it a long time.
And what was your first job in racing?
Selling Coca-Cola's at the old Charlotte Speedway, which was it was a three-quarter mile dirt track. It was something else.
You sold Coca-Cola's?
Coca-Cola's.
Now, was it actually just the brown Coca-Cola, or were there other beverages as well?
Oh, Paula, man, we had Coca-Cola's back then that really, really did something to you. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean, was it the...
The Humpy Cartel.
My family is from the South. I was born in Alabama, and when we used to vacation at Drucker's Trailer Park, we'd drive down there, and once you got to the South, somebody would say to you, well, do you want a Coca-Cola? And you'd say, yeah, I do. And they'd say, well, what kind? And you'd say, orange.
That's funny. Oh, that's funny.
And it was just a name that meant soda, and it had nothing to do with which actual beverage you were purchasing.
I never heard a trailer park accent like that in my life.
Now, you, however, you've been a part of NASCAR in various ways and stock car racing in this country. Since then, you've watched and helped it grow. You, in fact, run these days the Lowe's Motor Speedway, which is sort of the jewel in the crown of the NASCAR circuit.
Yeah, 12 miles from right here. Right. Got a race coming up. Hmm.
And the Lowe's Motor Speedway, that's a quad oval, right? And what is the shape of the track there?
That is very good.
Yeah, I'm thinking. No, I'm a huge NASCAR fan, actually.
Quad oval. I tell you what, that's good. Not many people know that. No, it's a mile and a half. It's banked 24 degrees. Yeah. We got a big race coming up, Bank of America 500 on October 14th. In case anybody's interested, I got tickets in my pocket.
Here's the thing. Since you are an intrinsic part of the fact that NASCAR has gone from being a relatively obscure thing, regional enthusiasm, to being, as I said, the second most, more popular than baseball, more popular than the NBA, how did you do it?
We've never figured it out.
Really?
No, I mean, it's like going to, you know, it's like going to Chicago. You know, Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, you take 42 cars, 43 cars off the interstate, running 2 inches apart, throw a couple taxi cabs in there, speed them up to about 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Make them always turn left when they get down to the end of the straightaway. That's the good thing about stock car. It's not complicated. You go straight and then you turn left. If you don't, you're going to be in real trouble. And that's all there is to it. And But, you know, racing's a contact sport. It's kind of like pro football on wheels. And we got fenders on these cars so people can bounce around and, you know, smack each other.
Well, is that true? Because I've heard that, you know, a lot of NASCAR fans, they go out there basically just waiting for the fireworks or waiting for a crash. How true is that?
They like to see people get hit. No doubt about that. But they like the characters. You know, we got a lot of drivers. We got a lot of great characters. And it's kind of a... soap opera on wheels, you know, and it's got a lot of drama, and it even it's funny sometimes, Paul.
Now, were you yourself ever a driver in the track, or you just always been an executive in the offices?
Unfortunately, I was a driver for a while.
How'd that work out?
Well, it didn't work out too well. I like to hit things. And Cale Yarborough finally told me one time, he says, you know, one of us needs to quit. And I sort of got the message.
Yeah. Well, Humpy Wheeler, it's a pleasure to have you with us. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
If your hand gets anywhere near my face during the competition, you might lose it.
Sure, NASCAR might be America's second most popular sport, but look in your rearview mirror. Do you guys have rearview mirrors?
Yeah, but nobody looks at it.
Okay. Well, if you did, you would see coming up behind you, competitive eating. That's right. Contests between men, almost always men, to see who can eat the most in the shortest period of time. This is hitting the big time. It's only a matter of time before, say, Jeff Gordon loses an endorsement contract to Takeru Kobayashi, holder of the world record for eating hot dogs. Now, we're going to ask you right now three questions about competitive eating. Get two right. You'll win our prize for a listener, Carl's voice, and their home answering machine. So, Carl, who is NASCAR czar Humpy Wheeler playing for?
He is playing for Trish Miller from Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right. Okay. Ready to do this?
Ready.
Okay. First question. According to the International Federation of Competitive Eating, there is one.
Do they sell tickets?
Yes, they do.
I need to get in on that.
We're getting ahead of the game here, but some of these competitions have been televised on national TV. What is the proper way to refer to a competitive eater? What is the term? Is it a gurgitator, B, a nutritional athlete, or C, a masticationist? Mm.
Is that legal in North Carolina? Sorry.
Mastication is legal. So it's a nutritional athlete.
You think a nutritional athlete is the term they use?
Yes.
No, it's actually gurgitator. It really is.
That's somebody that, you know.
No, you're thinking regurgitate.
Regurgitate, that's right.
But if the original act of gurgitation, it goes in. You see? That's the thinking.
I knew the great regurgitator one time is a guy that swallows pool billiard balls and throws them back up.
Wow.
He did. It's true.
You have led an interesting life, Mr. Wheeler. All right. You still have two more chances. Here we go. Among the records kept by the International Federation of Competitive Eating is one remarkable record held by Oleg Zhernitsky. What is this achievement that makes him famous? Was it A, he ate 106 live shrimp in 4 minutes? B, he ate 4 32-ounce jars of mayonnaise in 8 minutes? Oh. Or C, he ate 400 deep-fried caterpillars in just 85 seconds?
Whoa, that boy was hungry. Since we catch a lot of shrimp down here, at least a couple hundred miles from here, I would say shrimp.
You say shrimp. I wanted to point out that it was live.
Live. You can do it. Well, it's got a shell on it, but it wouldn't taste good going down.
It'd be fighting you.
You'd really be a regurgitator then.
So you're going to go for the shrimp?
I'm going to go for the shrimp.
I'm sorry to say this in more ways than one, but it was the mayonnaise. I know. Ooh. Fat-based foods, a particular specialty of some gurgitators. One Don Lerman ate 7 quarter-pound sticks of butter in 5 minutes. Last question. Let's see if you can get this one. The world's greatest gurgitator, the Dale Earnhardt of his sport. is, of course, Takeru Kobayashi, the six-time champion of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, the world record holder in that event. In fact, in his competitive career, he's only been beaten once. Was it by A, a 15-year-old Japanese schoolgirl, B, a 1,000-pound Kodiak bear, or C, a General Electric HP 85 model garbage disposal?
The Japanese girl.
A 15-year-old Japanese schoolgirl.
15-year-old Japanese girl, yeah.
It was actually the bear. It was the bear.
Well, that's good. I got 3 for 3.
You
absolutely
did.
Wrong.
The competition was staged for a Fox TV show, naturally, called Man vs. Beast. Kobayashi. You love Man vs. Beast?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Kobayashi ate 31 hot dogs in the 2 minutes allotted, but the bear ate 50.
I really think you could sell tickets to that. I'm ready to go. Pay-per-view, TV.
Carl, how did Humpy Wheeler do on our show?
Well, as Humpy said, he was perfect. 3 incorrect answers, so no prize for Trish Miller.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I have to give her 2 tickets to the race in October.
Awesome. Maybe you could introduce her to Mr. Gordon, maybe. That could happen.
Earnhardt Jr., he's not married. Jeff Gordon's getting ready to get married.
Oh, okay. Humpy Wheeler is a legend in NASCAR. He's the president and general manager of Lowe's Motor Speedway in Concord, North Carolina. He was recently inducted into the International Motorsports Hall of Fame, and he's now a movie star, appearing as Tex in this summer's Pixar film Cars. Humpy Wheeler, thank you so much for joining us today. In just a minute, Carl finds his inner blonde in a Who's Carl This Time. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for our Charlotte show was provided by Arkadeck, America's deck builder, featuring custom-designed and built decks, screened porches, sunrooms, gazebos, and pergolas. Dealer location online at arkadeck.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Wallace Foundation, supporting ideas, sharing solutions, expanding opportunities. On the web at wallacefoundation.org. Pabst Brewing, maker of Pabst Blue Ribbon and supporter of live and local music all across the country, PabstBlueRibbon.com. And TLC, presenting The Messengers, 10 men and women turn life-altering journey into messages of hope. Tomorrow night at 10, 9 Central on TLC.